really do ask
Father,
that
I pray
some
you be
fine
with each and
men
every
that
one
you
of
can
us
look up
here.
to that,
Every one of us
that love
here
God
has some purpose.
and that wants to do right. And I appreciate Brother Joe. And I know he did it to watch out for his preacher, if you will. And I appreciate him. I love him. And so, you know, just kind of a little change here tonight. You've heard him preach before. If you've been around for some time, you've heard him preach before. He's a fabulous preacher. And I'm glad that you get to hear him tonight. And I'm glad I get to hear him tonight. So, Brother Joe, come preach for us. Amen.
All right. Well, you'd be enthusiastic if you saw my notes, because I don't have any. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." That verse holds the demise of America. And that verse holds the reason why we are America. If we have a sway from being a nation whose God is no longer the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, we're going to lose that blessing. Because God says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Amen. That was free. That wasn't even the sermon, but that just came into my head. So, exactly. Sermon number two. All right. Turn with me, if you will, into the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. Let's go to chapter 12. I'm going to be reading a lot from our Bibles tonight. I'm going to let God's Word preach to you more than me. Genesis 12, why don't we rise when you get there? That way I'll know you're there. Honor the Lord's Word. Genesis chapter 12. I'll read verses 1 to 5. You can read responsively. We'll all read chapter 5, verse 5. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." And let's pray. Heavenly Father God, you know the message you put in my heart. Lord, it's a message that you put on my heart this morning to preach to the kids, and Lord, it's a message that's been on my heart all day, and it's a message that's on my heart now. But God, I pray you get the glory for it tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray you fill me. I pray that everything said and done be as if you yourself were here saying it, Lord. God, I pray that you just please get the glory for this message tonight. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you, Father, for dying for us. Thank you, Father, for saving us from our sin. Lord God, we just give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you tonight on the subject of the power of one sin. The power of one sin, but the greatness of one God. Power of one sin, but the greatness of one God. Brother Rick, could I actually take the plane if the batteries are good on it? Plane. Actually, I think it's dead, so. No, we're good. Yep, plane.
Hello.
Okay, good. I talked on my Sunday school class this morning. I spoke about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. And then when I came out, I was planning on preaching a message similar to what I'm preaching tonight. But Michelle said to me, she said, "Could you talk to the kids a little bit about 9/11? A lot of the kids didn't understand what 9/11 was. And I got thinking about it, how God works things out. Because the message that I was going to be preaching was so tied into the events that transpired on 9/11 that could only be the Holy Spirit making that
can happen.
And we're going to take just a little while tonight, and we're going to take a look at the power that just one simple sin has. But then we're going to look at the power of our Lord and how nothing, there's nothing that the Lord can't do. We just read here the call of Abram. God told Abram to come out of Ur of Chaldeans, come out of his father's house. He was living in an area where idolatry was present, was popular, was probably the main religion. Even within his own house, his father was given to idols, God told him to come out from that. Now we see he ended up bringing his father with him. I don't think he should have. I'm not going to get into that. But God promised in verse 2 there, he said, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will make of thee a great nation." And if you notice there in verse 5, it says, "And Abram took Sarai, his wife." So Abram was married, and he took his wife with him. And they left towards Canaan. They're bound for Canaan land. And they left to go to where God had told them to go, knowing that God had promised them that he would make a great nation out of them. Now, I want you to take and just turn in your Bible forward a little bit to chapter 16. And we see here in chapter 16, follow along with me. Verse 1 says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, and the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan." So they were in the land that God told him to go to. He was married to Sarai, his wife. God had promised him a great nation. But now Sarai is saying, "Hey, I can't have kids. I want you to go, and I want you to do this great nation thing through my handmaid, Hagar. And he went in, verse 4, unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge me between thee, me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And Sarai dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face." So now, we see here that Abram had relationships outside of his marriage. Abram sinned. And out of that inappropriate relationship, God had promised him a seed through Sarah. And out of that relationship came this child. You look in verse 11. "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." So she bare Ishmael. Keep reading in God's word. Move forward to verse 9. "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." Actually, go down a little bit more to chapter 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Wow! Here's Abraham. And here's God saying, hey, you're going to have a great nation through Sarah. And here's Abraham saying, ha, 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 yeah, right, God. I'd be looking for lightning. I don't know about you. Can you imagine? Sure, okay, God, yeah. And then Abraham falls on his face and says, oh, that this nation might come my way through Ishmael, not your way through Isaac. And God, what does God say? And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. I want you to notice that. Multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. No, Abraham, it's not up to you. You can laugh at me. You can doubt me. You can go off and you can have an inappropriate relationship, and you can have a child that you shouldn't have had in the first place with this one Hagar from a sinful relationship. But you know what? I said from the start that I'm going to bless you with a great nation. It's going to come through Sarah, and it's still going to come through Sarah, and it's going to be through this son I'm going to give Sarah, and his name's going to be Isaac. I like the way God calls it my covenant. But then he said in verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. So now, we have chapter 18. Let's dwell on chapter 18 for a minute. And, well, I'll go from verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat down in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord. You notice there it says, my Lord. That L is capitalized. I think right there, Abraham, I think he was realizing he was seeing the Lord. He was seeing messages from the Lord. I like the fact that it's 3, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I think it's a representation right there of God himself. But right there, we see, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. It was the custom of that time to really take care of your guests. And he did that. And he told Sarah, go, hey, get some food, make it ready. And we go up to verse number 9. So they're there, and they're about to eat. And we see in verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. So now we see here, it's come to the point where Abraham isn't capable, and it's come to the point where Sarah isn't capable of bearing a child either any longer. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Well, laughing at God. Laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxen old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Boy, I like that statement. It's funny the way we can trust God with our salvation, but we can't trust him to provide the next paycheck. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But you just don't understand. I just can't get over this pain. Hey, is anything too hard for the Lord? He made us. He made the earth. He set the stars in the heavens. Sarah! Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you tonight, in your life, is anything too hard for the Lord? We're going to come back to that in a minute. What I want to do is I want to build this whole family situation that we see here. We see here Abram, and we see Sarah. And they come out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. And they go to Canaan, where God had told them to go. And we see an inappropriate relationship. Sarah doesn't believe that God's going to do what he said he'd do. He has her go into Hagar, and he bears this child Ishmael in a sinful relationship. Anything outside of marriage is sin. And he bears this child in a sinful relationship. And then God comes and says, Abraham, I am going to make a great nation out of you through Sarah. And he laughs. And God says, it's my covenant, not up to you. It's God's way, not your way. And now we see him telling Abraham that he's going to have a great nation through Sarah. And folks, we see two nations coming out of Abraham. We see a nation through Ishmael. And if you notice, it gives you a little insight into that nation. Let me go back there. If I can find it. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So this sinful relationship that happened between Abraham and Ishmael and Hagar resulted in Ishmael that would lead to a man and a people that would have their hand against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. Can I just say, if you don't understand this, out of Ishmael and his line comes the Muslims, comes the Arabs, comes that sinful religion. One sin. And what do we have here? We have an entire line, an entire nation from one sin. And over here, we have God's blessed people promised through Sarah, done by God, not done by man, by the way. Abraham was at the point in his life where, to be candid, he was impotent and he was 100 years old and he couldn't have children. Sarah was at the point in her life where she was too old to bear. Can I just say that Isaac came from God? I like the relation to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus Christ right there. You know, an angel visited Mary and Joseph and told them they were having a child. And not only that, but told them what to name that child. And that child came from God. That right there, that there is a foreshadow of the virgin birth. But now we see God's chosen nation right here. And what comes down through this line here, to give you a little biblical history, that's what we're doing, we're giving you a history lesson here. What comes down through that line but the Jewish nation, the children of Israel? Because Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Esau and Jacob. And Jacob took the birthright for and the blessing from Esau, and Jacob begat Joseph, and Joseph from there. And that is God's people right there. That is the children of Israel. As you know, Jacob is renamed Israel by God himself. And if you know, Jesus Christ was a Jew. And those of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ are Christians. And trust in God are part of that blessed God-ordained relationship. But over here, we have this nation. Let me characterize this nation one more time. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. Does that sound something like maybe a little bit like a terrorist? Can I say the Muslim religion and the Arab people came out of a sinful relationship? And from one sin, let me ask you, if the Muslims hadn't come out of that one sin, would 9/11 have even happened? See, Brother Joe, you're just here to attack a people. No, I'm here to attack sin. I'm not attacking a religion tonight. I'm attacking sin. You know something? Sin has power. Sin doesn't just affect you. Let me ask you, you know, what about that drunk who leaves Cornerstones tonight and comes out and hits that family of five on their way home from church and kills them all but one? Let me ask you, is that one girl that's left over going to grow up thinking that that one sin didn't affect anybody else? No! Sin has power. Sin affects other people. One sin committed thousands of years ago. Abraham, thousands of years ago. I don't know what, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. One sin led to 3,000 deaths 10 years ago. I'm not saying, and understand this, I'm not saying tonight that those people died because of their sin. The wages of sin is death, and this illustrates it. What I am saying tonight is that one sin led to a wicked generation of the Bible. The Bible says it, of wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man against him, his. That begot others like that. And because of that one sin, others have died. Sin, when it, what's the verse? Sin, when it cometh forth, the verse just left me. Yes, yeah, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth destruction, I think it is. It brings forth death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Imagine that. Do you think about it for a minute? How many years ago? Maybe 4,000 or 5,000 years ago when Abraham did that. Do you think that he would be causing 3,000 or so people to die 5,000 years later? I don't think so. Do you think when that happened, he thought about the 343 firefighters that perished that day? I don't think Abraham had any clue. Let me ask you, your sin, you think about it at all? Who's it affecting? Oh, it's not that big of a sin. Well, you think that one relationship by seemingly two people wasn't that big of a deal to Abraham at that time? I don't know where your lives are at. I don't know what sin is in your life, but you can bet for sure that it will affect somebody else. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say just your death. In this case, that one sin led to the deaths of many other people. Wow, sin has power. That illustrates truly that the wages of sin is death. One sin. You want another illustration? You look at Eve. One sin. How many people did that one sin affect? But you know, even after that sin, I like this statement that we have here. Chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Had Abraham only trusted what God said he would do? You know, I don't know what would have happened had that one sin not taken place. I don't know whether two planes would have flown as a terrorist attack. I don't think that it would have myself, because I know that the Muslim nation comes as a direct descendant of Abraham from Ishmael. That's biblical. You can trace it back right here in the greatest history book of all time, the only one you need, if you ask me. But what I wonder is, what about that one sin in your life? What is that one sin? You know, I like to illustrate it to the kids. I put paint on my hand and I call it sin. I just go around and I touch them all, and I have another one touch another one on the back, another one shake hands with another one, and it just spreads. That's what sin does. Sin doesn't just affect one person. But you know, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, you can overcome that sin through that statement. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life tonight. I don't know if there is a sin. The Bible talks in Hebrews about a besetting sin. When I look that word up, basically it's every which direction we turn, that sin is just coming at us. I mean, it feels like no matter which way we go, we can't get away from it. It's probably different for you than it is for me, but I think we all have a besetting sin. I know what mine is. I ain't telling you. But I'm telling you now, no matter which way you turn, sometimes I feel like it's coming from every side. But you know what? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, the next verse it says, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no, I did. That wasn't me. You know, in your life tonight, is there something that you just don't want to give him? Because the Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? That just hits me right there. You know how many struggles I've had that I've tried to deal with myself? There's power in one sin. I hope you see that illustrated. But there's more power in our God. We have victory over that one sin.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. We have victory in Jesus. Amen. But yet, though we be not servants to sin, many of us still live in sin. Yet, there's nothing that God can't give you victory over. I don't know if there's fear tonight. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's even sin. Maybe there's something in your life that you just have that has been bearing and wearing down on you so heavily that you just think it's too much for God to handle. And you just feel, no, you know something? I did this to myself. I need to deal with the consequences of it. I need to bear this burden on my back when Jesus already put it on the cross with him. But you still keep saying, I got to bear it and I got to let it weigh me down because I owe it to God to keep going on with this big thing on my back when God says, cast your cares upon me.
Yes, sir.
And he said, there's nothing I can't do, because there's anything too hard for God. If I can give a child to a 100-year-old, and I can give a child to a 90-year-old couple, if I can frame the corners of the earth and set the stars in motion, is anything too hard? Put your problems in perspective tonight. There's power in one sin. Power of death and destruction in one sin. And don't think that your sins can't lead there, because they can. But there's even more power in the Lord. You know, we can take and tear apart the Muslim religion all we want. We can take and tear apart Ishmael and tear apart their relationship and tear apart all the people. But you know something? My Bible, we got to keep one thing in perspective. My Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Let me ask you, are the Muslims lost? The answer is yes. Can I have a witness? You see, the Muslims are lost. They're following a false god. They're following a false god of war who has a false doctrine that says kill the infidel. But we have the truth. We have God's holy word and God's promise that we stand on. We sang that tonight, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Yeah. But yet, we hang on to things in our life and we don't want to just give them to God. You know how many times I should have been at an altar, but I wasn't because of pride? I'll bear myself for a minute. You know how many times I stood there saying, oh, God, I know, but I just can't go down there. What will people think? I know what preacher preached on tonight. And if I get down there, they're going to say, woo, look who's down there. No, but you know what? Maybe I ought to be down there more often. Maybe you ought to realize there's nothing in your life that is too hard for God. There is nothing in your life that God can't help you overcome. There's nothing in your life that God can't overcome for you if you'll just give it to Him. That one sin was dealt with on one cross by one Savior who's prophesied through the birth of Isaac and Sarah. Through Sarah and Abraham. Isaac, you'll see in the Bible, is actually a picture of Jesus Christ, an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. Many times when you see Abraham leading him up to be sacrificed right there. So many illustrations of Jesus Christ right there. That one sin was paid for by one Savior on one cross. Let me ask you, what are you doing with your sins tonight? Are you trying to bear them on your own back? Have you come to the cross? It's not hard to get to. Even little children can get there. I can tell you that right now. Every Sunday I see them. One sin has power. The wages of sin of death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. Sarah, God can give you a child. Sinner, God's given you a Savior. But have you accepted Him? Or are you still trying to do it yourself? I'm going to end there. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You know, I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know if there's been sin in your life that for some reason has just you feel is too hard for God. Maybe there's been some challenges in your life that you feel you just have to hang on to, and it's too hard for God, that God just can't see you through it. He's seen you through salvation. He can see you through anything else. Why not bring it down to the altar and just give it to Him tonight? We're going to have an invitation. The music's going to play. When that music plays, you come forward. Maybe you need to just deal with Him. Realize the power of one sin. The wages of sin of death. but realize the victory we have through one Savior. The fact that we have a God stronger than anything. So strong that there's nothing too strong for God. That music's going to play. Maybe you need to do business. You come down. Whether music or not, you come down. Come down tonight. I don't know if there's a sin tonight. I don't know where your heart is. Everyone stand to your feet now. Everyone standing, heads bowed. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know where your life has been. I don't know which direction you've gone, but God can handle the situation. There is nothing too hard for God if you'll only trust Him with it.